You're listening to Mind Over Money, the podcast that helps Aussies have finances that work. Today is a Q&A day, part one of two. A lot of people have been asking similar questions around the property market, inflation, and the cost of living. So we've taken the top six questions and we're going to do our best to answer them today. G'day, Tim. G'day, Archie.
Hey, how's it going?
G'day, Lockie. G'day, Tim.
Tim, I'm trying to catch up with my beard to you.
Always good. Good on the podcast. Everyone has different beard lengths at the moment.
Yeah, send us in your photos of your beards.
Your beards. I guess it is November.
Oh, yeah. It is too.
All right. So if there's a listener out there doing Movember, send us your link and we'll paste it in the show notes. Send it through to us. Yeah. We'd love to support you. Okay, we've got six questions. Six questions we're going to be running through today. These are common questions that have been coming up lately. So we thought we'd do a Q&A. The next episode, we'll do another Q&A more generally. So please send us in your questions. The links are in the show notes to do that. Tim, do you want to run us through the six questions and then we'll just jump into them?
So the first question is, what's up with interest rates and where are they going? So you're going to hear some thoughts about that. Number two, should I do a fixed or variable rate right now in regards to home loans? Number three, when will the property market crash? That's a nice clickbaity one. So I can finally buy my home rather than a caravan and live in the outback, which is the only thing I can afford at the moment.
And stay tuned for that one. We have a actual countdown, the exact time and date of the next crash.
Yes, yes.
Hey, Tim, I got a caravan up the back for you.
Oh, great. I can get a good deal on it. That sounds good. Actually, I don't mind that option. It is good. Bit of Starlink and off we go. Okay. The last three are cost of living crisis and whether it's a crisis or not. Number five, are we going into another crash? More crash. I think that's a very clickbaity word at the moment that the media is using a lot. And the last question we're going to look at is, what do you mean when you say a lifetime of income?
Very good. Clickbait. I like that one, Tim. Clickbait on social media.
Like our
trying
titles.
To get you in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like our podcast titles at Waymaker for Mind Over Money.
Yeah. We put crash in there, Lockie, on our title.
Yeah. Let's do it. We'll add it in. Okay. First question. We've been getting this a lot. What's up with interest rates and where are they going? So the cash rate's at 4.1% as we record this. It may go up next week. The US Federal Reserve has held rates overnight, so that's interesting. That's good. Archie, what can we expect going forward?
Well, this is where the Reserve Bank of Australia is setting the interest rates, and their big job at the moment is don't crash the economy. So, because that's their biggest risk at the present time is whether they could crash the economy by potentially raising interest rates again. Because the interest rates can only do so much when it comes to managing the economy. And so we really do want to see interest rates stabilize. That's what I'd like to see, is interest rates stabilize and then start to go down because the economy is growing again. But they've got a fair bit to manage at the moment. So we'll have to just wait and see what they do, which probably leads into the next one of, should we fix the interest rate or have a variable interest rate? That question is it's very particular to our needs. And so if we've got a massive big loan compared to our income, we might just need to fix the interest rate to manage our cash flow. So it really is dependent on people's situations there.
Yeah, I think an important thing to note when you're fixing your rate is you often can't make extra repayments or many extra repayments. So if you were in a situation where you're trying to pay down your home loan ahead of schedule, if you do fix it and you do get stuck in the time frame of what the bank wants you to pay down a bit slower, they like to slow you down. So again, it's all situational, but it is something to think about.
Yeah. And often people think about fixing the interest rate to save money, and they think that this is how you save on interest. And that's false. The only way to save on interest is to pay the loan off. Get in and pay it off as fast as possible. So like on an average 500K loan, you can save $500,000 in interest by paying it off in less than 10 years. So if you really want to save interest, get in and pay her off. But, you know, if you are having cash flow problems, you could be looking at fixing. But just remember that, like you were saying, Tim, there's limitations once you fix it because you're no longer in control of that loan. That loan has been sold on. And so, now if you want to make any changes, you have to pay for those changes.
Can you explain that, Archie, what you mean by, like, the loan getting sold on?
So basically other people other investors will buy the loans. So that's how the bank can fix the interest rate, is to sell that loan onwards for that fixed period of time. Say it's a 3-year fixed period. You know, basically someone's buying that loan for that 3 years to get that interest on that loan. And that can help free up money for the bank so they can lend more money.
Right. Because often, like, breaking a fixed rate also has some fees, so they know, okay, that'll cover the costs if that does happen.
And look, banks are really good at marketing, and one of their top marketing strategies is create fear. And so if they can create fear around interest rates, they can get you to do what they want. And often what they want is for you to fix that home loan because, you know, after you fix it once, you're likely to fix it again and you're likely to stay with the bank long term. And, you know, and in business, that's what businesses want. They want people to be there long term. But you've given up control over your loan. That's the big one. And whereas if you stay with variable, you can push the bank to give you a better rate. You can change loans to get a better rate. You're actually in control of the loan.
I guess that highlights why it's important to work with a mortgage broker that can look at your situation and help you figure out what the best financial product is suitable for your situation. So definitely speak to a mortgage broker.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned fear there. I think the third question lines up with that. And since my own calendar ran out, I've, you know, not been sure what's going to happen next. So when will the property market crash? And so I can buy
Tim,
a home.
I've got my crystal ball here in the cupboard. Let me just get it out. Just get rid of this stuff. Here we go. Let me give it a shake. It says,
hey Lockie, that's just your Christmas ornament.
It says low battery. Okay.
I think Tim hit it on it there before. It's all about clickbait. So why do we use the word crash? Because it's clickbait. Everyone wants to know, is there going to be a crash? You know that we're driven in our brain is looking to protect us. So it's looking for anything that it needs to be aware of. And so it's going to get pulled into negative stuff real quickly. And so some people have been saying, you know, I'm waiting for the market to crash or go down so I can buy my house. But the problem with that one is that the property market tends to go up and it'll take a jump up and then it'll cruise along for a while till it takes another jump up. And we see this across the economy, both with companies as well, is that nothing is a straight line up. You know, everything moves around. But if we're waiting for something like that to happen, we can totally miss out on buying a home because we're waiting for some external thing to happen that we have no control over. And I think that's the thing we need to be concerned about is, you know, are we giving away our control to something we have no control over?
It's a good way to put it. Yeah. So no crash on the horizon.
Well, I guess we just don't know.
We don't know. Well, we know that there's demand for homes and there's pressure on homes and there's not really enough of them right now. So I can't see that putting on much pressure.
Depends on where you live too, though. Yeah, but it does depend on where you live too. So, I don't know. Has anyone heard if there's a property market crisis out in Alice Springs?
There's it comes down to big movements in companies. There's a couple of mines closing in rural Queensland. The ADF is moving a bunch of soldiers from Adelaide up to Northern Territory. So mass changes in jobs and migration from the companies or the army can obviously affect property prices in that sense. So I think when we talk about a crash, I think we talked about this a couple of episodes ago where there can be these little micro crashes, but only in selected areas because of something that's taking place, a major change in that area. And all of a sudden the government will announce something. We're going to make this thing here, and then that market jumps up. So
for Brisbane, we've got the Olympics coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's going to have an impact because of that. Mm. And again, it's affecting how people think and, you know, and it affects how people invest. So, you know, we might see a whole pile of investors wanting to buy property in Queensland, pushing up prices, or in Brisbane especially. Pushing up prices because they might be wanting to make a quick win. So the key here with buying a home, if it's your own home, the key here is buy it and pay it off, and it doesn't really matter what the property prices do. That's the easy to be in control, and you know, and to get a win is buy it and pay it off. Yeah, guaranteed to get a great win when you do that.
I love that, and it puts the control back in our hands and not in the economy fairies out there.
Yeah. Economy fairies. Love your wording.
All right. Next question. This podcast will never end. Cost of living crisis. Is there really a crisis? Is there or isn't there? Hang on. Let me get my crystal ball out. So obviously some things have gone up. So gas and electricity has gone up. Food's gone up a bit, although Coles and Woolies have both won the Shonky Awards, which if you don't know about that, we'll drop a link in the show notes. Every year, Choice Magazine releases the Hall of Shame. They call it the Shonkies.
Mm.
And Coles and Woolies have been in it this year for profiting off Aussies during a crisis. Not great PR. Again, I think there's a bit of media hype around it.
Yeah, yeah. Fear sells. Good clickbait, having a crisis. So, yeah. And look, there's definitely people who could be facing financial trouble. There always is people facing financial trouble for various reasons. But we're also seeing people do extremely well in this period too. So, you know, we're seeing people get in and pay their homes off. We're seeing people get in and buy their first homes. You know, we're seeing a lot of good stuff. It's just very, you know, the media just does portray things in a way that can be quite negative.
Mm.
One positive could have been a bit of a wake-up call, and we've seen people kind of tighten up the budget and get focused on what's important again and being like, okay, maybe I was being a bit excessive over the last few years, but it's okay, let's get back to a bit of focus. And, you know, it's almost a positive in some people's lives. So, yeah. It's very individual.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep.
So we've got here another question that's been similar to, again, we're on the theme of crashes here. People have been asking about the economy and is the dollar about to fall over and, you know, markets going to tank and all of that. So what do you make of that, Archie?
So people, I suppose there's a couple of areas that people are concerned about. One's their super because, you know, that's probably where most of their investment money might be sitting at the present time. And then there's, you know, people who are investing outside of superannuation and might be investing in shares and companies, people are concerned about what's going to happen in the markets.
Mm.
And, you know, and there's talk now, you know, as which is clickbait again, of market crashes. And I'm starting to see some, you know, YouTube videos and all sorts of stuff coming out, always selling something, of course. You know, it's always attached to sales. They're selling you something based off of that fear. But generally, you know, investing in companies is what we do through super. It's what we do generally outside of super as well. And so our companies are, you know, that's what our economy is based on. It's based on our big businesses and small businesses. And so companies are, the prices of companies, you know, the returns that companies generate is all based on the economy. And so that's what we were saying right at the beginning. The government's trying to make sure that the economy continues to grow. And there's going to be ebbs and flows. There's going to be changes that come through. But both here in Australia, in the US, Europe, governments have put structures in place to help manage economies and manage risk because, you know, you don't want to see economy fail because if economy fails, we're all in trouble.
Right. You mentioned at the top of the show, Lockie, I think, about the US Federal Reserve, you know, and I guess we do get a lot of news about the world economy, but how much does it all influence one another? Like, well, Australia, really, how much are we influenced by America? If what you see there, is that going to happen here? in 6 months? Because I think there is kind of that kind of feeling going around as well.
So our financial systems are interconnected. That's why we are affected by what happens in the US or what happens in Europe, because we are interconnected financially. Mm. So all our banks are interconnected, financial institutions, governments. So that's why we've got reserve banks. They're there to help manage the economies and manage the financial systems and keep things stable and secure as much as they can.
Mm.
Yeah. And look, the good thing about market movements, you know, when a market moves and goes down because the economy isn't doing as well, which, you know, the Australian economy is quite stagnant at the present time. And so the economy is not doing as well. It's a great time to be investing because you're buying in at a good price. And as we said before, the you got the ebbs and flows in the economy. So when the economy gets going again, you get a sudden increase in what you've invested in. But then you've got to look at it over the long term to see what your long-term returns are. And that's really what you want to focus on. Mm. So especially when you're looking at super and you've got large amounts in super, you're not trying to time the market, pull money in and out. You're really wanting to leave it in there and generate the best return you can over a 10-year period. Because that's what's going to provide you with income throughout your life.
Well, that leads us into our next and last question is, what do you mean when you say lifetime income? So we've talked about this quite a bit, creating income throughout our life on the podcast. So some people have been actually asking that. What do you mean by that, lifetime income?
So often the mindset that we have is just to save and spend. So people say to us, you know, that I'm a good saver. And then you go, okay, so show us your investments. And then they go, well, I don't have any investments. I've only got savings. And then I ask, you know, well, what are the savings for? Oh, I'm saving up for a holiday. And and so, you know, that's often what we're doing. We're saving and then spending. And so people even think about superannuation this way. They think, oh, yeah, I'm saving up my super. And so that when I hit retirement, when I decide to finish work, say it's age 60, I'm just going to take that money out and live on it. Well, that's the fastest way to go broke because you're going to take it out and spend it. And because that's that save and spend mentality. So what we want to help people do is get an investing mentality. And so investing means we put money in, we leave it in there, and it generates income for us at certain points in our life. And so it generates income to buy cars. It generates income to maybe do some schooling for the kids. It generates income for when we don't work. And so we want it invested so it's growing and it's producing income. And that's what we mean by lifetime income. And when we do it that way, then we have millions in income throughout our lifetime. If we do it the other way, we only have what we save. And we might only save a couple hundred thousand dollars. And so that's all we have is a couple hundred thousand dollars.
I think that's a great difference there of that. Like the saving to spend, it can feel really good, but it's not really progressing things forward. Becoming an investor is, however you define that, is so important. Like of, you know, building your future and practically how you do that. Obviously, there's a lot of options and there's good ways and not so good ways. But I think that's how you build a lifetime of income. And
So if we get that mindset of contributing money to investments. Because that's the key to being able to generate and grow those investments is making those contributions. And that's why we always call them contributions and not savings, because we don't want to confuse that mindset. So we make contributions to our investments. That investment is going to produce income for us. It's going to be very specific to our needs over time. That way we can save up for our holiday. We can save up to do different things. But then for investing, we'll make those contributions and watch those guys grow. And the great thing about market movements, again, is if you're contributing all the time, then you're putting money in at different points in the market. And it takes away all that fear and worry about, oh, am I putting it in and going to lose it? You get rid of that fear because you're putting it in over time and allowing it to grow and do what it's supposed to do, which is compound over time.
All right, let's wrap up. Well, thanks as always, guys, for listening to Mind of Money, presented by Waymaker. You can head to waymakerfinance.com.au to connect with one of our advocates or mortgage brokers online. And we'll see you guys next week for the next part of our Q&A.
Thanks, Lachlan. Thanks, Tim.
See ya. This podcast is for education purposes only and is not financial advice. You can head over to waymakerpodcast.com.au if you'd like to connect with one of our trusted wealth partners. They can help you get personal advice that's tailored to your situation.